You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church here in Merritt Island. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here today on this Friday. Thank God it is Friday, heading into the weekend. Hope you're having an awesome day. We're going to make this day even that much more better as we sit under the Word of God for the next 30 minutes. As a matter of fact, we're promised a blessing today because we're going to be in the Book of Revelation. Let's start the Book of Revelation here on the radio. And this is the only book out of all 66 where he calls us blessed. Blessed are those who hear and those who read and those who keep the things written therein. The only blessing in all the Bible, he promises you blessed if you've got ears to hear. He promises you're blessed if you read this book, and he promises you're blessed if you do what it says. We're going to learn a lot here as we go through. So we're starting here today. This first sermon will wrap up on Monday. This is an intro and the first half a dozen verses or more in the book of Revelation. We invite you to church this weekend. We would love to see you this Sunday morning. And we are going through the book of Acts, verse by verse. And we're going to start chapter 13 this Sunday morning. We're going to start to see the baton passed on now from Peter to Paul. We're not going to see very much of Peter anymore through the book of Acts. We just left off my sermon from last week, which you just heard on the radio these last 2 days, The Perils of Peter. We saw Peter miraculously delivered out of prison. And we're only going to see him, I think, maybe one more time as he is going to be there for the Jerusalem Council, the very first church meeting. That'll be in chapter 15. Now we're going to get into some of the ministries of the Apostle Paul. We're going to witness his first sermon here this Sunday morning at 10:30. Island Community Church, we are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. If you enjoy this radio show, if you're new to the area, or if you are just looking for a new church home, I invite you to attend Island Community Church. You'll be warmly greeted and welcomed here at this church, and we'll keep the porch light on for you on Sunday morning. Okay, let's get into the book of Revelation. This will take us quite some time as we go through this book here. He promises us blessed. Matter of fact, let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we pray your word back to you. Lord, you promised that we'd be blessed if we had ears to hear. That's why we're tuned in. You promised us to be blessed if we read these things in here. You promised we'd be blessed if we keep the things written therein. Draw close to us now as we draw close to you. Help us to realize we already have the power in us to keep these things. Speak to us through your word now. We listen for your voice. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. And we praise you now, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we praise you in the house today. We take to heart that this is the only book out of all 66 that you promised us blessed if we take the time to read this book. You promised us blessed if we're able to hear it, because not everyone's able to hear. And you call us blessed and promise us blessed if we keep the words written therein. We set out to do that here this morning, starting today, for however many months it's going to take to go from chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 22, verse 21. Speak to us through your word. Help us to understand better through this age that we live in, what's going on around us. I pray for all of our discernment here today, for everyone here in this church, everyone that's watching and that's going to watch later. Help us to have the discernment that we need to prosper here at the end of the age and to lead others to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. All this and even so much more, we pray that you bless us exceedingly abundantly here as we set out to know you better. Help us to be doers of your word as well, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, here we are back again, the book of Revelation. Now, from the top, I'll make this comment. I am not going to apologize if a lot of what you hear, you have heard in the past from me. Heaven forbid you hear something twice and thereby become an expert on a particular subject. You know, funny, in every other field, that's how you do it. But not the church, nope, not the Word of God. People remember something they heard in 1967 and they've got a memory like an elephant. And said, I've heard that before, back when I used to drive a Yugo. I remember you saying that. How dare you say that twice? Look at what baseball players do, for that matter. Look at what professional, even college, even peewee football players, Pop Warner, do it. You know what they do? They memorize the playbook. They memorize the playbook so that when the team leader, be it the coach or the quarterback, calls an audible, all those that are on the same team, pray tell, you know what the play is. Otherwise, you just sit on the bench. God will put someone else in on the team. Oh, you won't lose your salvation. But he'll put someone else in that knows the playbook. It's not the way we do it here. No one and done here. So all of you, you're going to hear some of the same things over and over again until we are professional Christians who know the playbook. That's what we do here. You're going to know this playbook. He calls you blessed if you know it. And I'll call you ignorant if you don't. Now, everyone's got extensive handouts. From the outline I sent to everyone during the week, handouts in your bulletin, you just got another handout. As I say each time we start the book of Revelation, this book is a bad book to build your doctrine of the Christian faith on. You build your doctrine of the faith in the book of Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 Peter, and the Lord Jesus' teachings in all four of the Gospels. Now, don't tell me all Christians are raptured early on and then point to a vision that John had of a whole bunch of people standing up in heaven. Because that does not mean that you as a Christian are not ever going to break a nail. Rather, you go to what the Lord Jesus said, that he will raise up the bodies of all the believers on the last day. That's where you go to build your doctrine. Not a vision or a dream that John had. You go to what the Lord taught. The dead in Christ rise first, Paul said. Jesus says that's on the last day. That's where you go to build your doctrine. John 6:39 and 40, 44, and 54. Or you go to 2 Thessalonians where the Apostle Paul said, the day of Christ won't come until the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is unveiled. Poof. The son of perdition who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God so that he sits as God. Now remember, these are things that have to happen first, he says. Sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's where you go to build your doctrine. Now, the book of Revelation is the only apocalyptic book in the entire New Testament. It also was the last book to be recognized as being legit. That's why there are so many alternate readings in the margins of your New King James. If you have a New King James Bible, you'll see more footnotes in this book than any other. Because when Erasmus came up with his translation, he only had one manuscript. And that was missing chapter 22 and half of chapter 21. He had to go to the Latin and retranslate that into Greek. Now there's hundreds and hundreds of manuscripts, thousands in the Gospels, maybe hundreds of the book of Revelation. But that's why there's so many alternate readings. Okay, let's get into this book. Now, some people are using my translation in this. Linda, Mark's got one. My translation is more different in this book than any other. because it comes from a majority of all manuscripts that are found. Remember, New King James, he had one, missing the last chapter. My translation, there's hundreds. And you have a much better probability of knowing the true word of God when you got 100 manuscripts to compare, not just one. Okay. One other thing. This book does not play out chronologically. He sees a vision through the end, and then he moves on to a new one. For instance, we see the end of the world in chapter 1. We're going to see in a minute he's coming back. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. That's chapter 1. Jesus comes back at the end right here in chapter 1. So we see the end of the world in chapters 1, 3, 4, 11, 13, 14, 17, 20, 21, and 22. So understand these visions are not being presented to us chronologically. Some visions he's going to see from heaven. Some visions he's going to see from earth. Okay, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. All right, so it's not the revelation of St. John the Divine, like perhaps your heading might read in your Bible. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's his revelation. It's not John's revelation. It's Jesus's revelation. It's right there, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. We're going to find out this word, angelos, many times means messenger. Verse 2, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Sounds like a courtroom, right? When they say to the witness, they say, tell us what you saw. And that's what he's going to do. Verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. All right, first he says, blessed is he who reads. But not just read, a lot of people read. Atheists read, scoffers read, unbelievers read, naysayers read, but they all read looking for loopholes. You see, you can't just read, you have to have ears to, number two would be hear. Hears. Now the Lord said, and he will continue to say to each of the seven churches, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And you see, the atheists and the scoffer and the unbeliever and the naysayer do not have ears to hear like you do. They peruse through the book of Revelation looking for discrepancies. Like those guys, these astronauts and this people searching for water on Mars, and people down there at the Antarctic looking for gay penguins. There's hundreds of people down there around the clock, down there in Antarctica, just dying to find a gay penguin. Or water on Mars, looking for loopholes. Listen to this verse, John 8:47. Jesus speaking, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So if you are not a genuine Christ follower, you will not understand this book, though one were to declare it to you. You won't understand it. You read it 1,000 times. If you don't have ears to hear, you're just not going to hear it. So, blessed is he who reads, hears, and number three, blessed is he who keeps. The word means to guard, like a sentinel, guarding a prisoner. The words of this book, for yourself and for all generations, and from all the evil people out here that want to confiscate it, as they're doing up in Canada right now. And from computers. artificial intelligence who wants to create their own Bible. This AI is going to be the catalyst to usher in the man of sin and the image of the beast. Now, we'll get to that in about a year here. Well, you guys asked for it. We took a vote last week, remember? Who wants to hear Mark? Not a blessed hand went up. Who wants to hear Revelation? Whoosh. You can read all you want, and you've got ears to hear. But how are you doing it keeping the words written therein? What will you do when they knock on your door or at your house and they say to you, give it up, your faith or your life? What are you going to do? People are hard at work as we speak to have your Bible confiscated. If you don't work at keeping this word, then the way I see it, you're no different than the one that doesn't have the ears to hear. What good is it if you're not going to keep it? Much is required of you. You must keep it. Don't let this cancer culture cancel culture, cancel the Bible here in America. That's up to you. He's calling you to keep this. Guard it like a sentinel. Don't let anyone take your Bible from you. Don't let the government take your Bible from you. You got to stand up. Guard it like a prison guard. He calls you blessed if you keep it. Meatloaf is wrong, that old singer. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. 2 out of 3 is bad. You need 3 out of 3. You're wasting your time if you're not going to keep it. So, that's keeping it on a kingdom level. There's also keeping this word on a personal level. That is, living by the book. Keep it in your own life. Blessed is he and she who's living right. Blessed is he who's keeping the words in this book. Blessed is he who stands up for the word of God. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Blessed is he who calls sin, sin, and repents daily. Blessed is he who tries to live right. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is he and she who doesn't cave and takes the government mark in order to buy or sell. Blessed is the one that doesn't listen to the world government. You got to keep it from them. If you take anything home with you today, let it be that. And the message here in verse 7, which we're going to get to here coming up. Jesus calls you blessed. This is the only book in the entire Bible that Jesus calls you blessed if you do what's written in this book. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, how can he say that? The time is at hand. How can he say that 2,000 years have come and gone and we're still here? Maybe he was wrong. No, he wasn't wrong. Once Acts chapter 1, verse 9 happened, once Jesus was taken up in a cloud and they sat there looking like this, and the angel says, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you will so come in like manner. Once that happened, we entered into the last days. And this whole world is on high alert. Once that happened, we enter into this time when Jesus could come back anytime. There's even the remote chance that I could be wrong. At least the remote. And the Lord could come back any second unannounced, and that the Lord didn't run it by me first to see if it fit into my end times theology. I might be wrong. That's why my advice to you is to strive. That's what Jesus said. Are there few who will be saved? He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He said strive. We don't know when he's coming back. What's called for you and me is to strive. Agonizo. Like Jesus in the garden. It said he agonized in prayer. That's what we need to be doing too. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. All right, on to verse 4, John's personal greeting. Yes, I know he wrote it to someone else, and we're reading somebody else's mail. Now wait until next Sunday. We're going to break into the pastor's office at Ephesus. We're going to open up the letter he got from the Son of God, because prying eyes want to know. I'm just dying to know as a pastor what Jesus said to the pastor at his church. That'll be the next 7 weeks when we get into that. So yes, he wrote this to someone else, but we certainly can glean a whole bunch of excellent stuff as we approach, as we apply these truths here to our own lives. Okay, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from... Hey, this sounds like a label on a Christmas present. Remember those labels, you little rectangular? To you, from him who is. Wow, what a name! Him who is. So, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler or prince, ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us. My translation says, to him who loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I like that. Loves is in the present tense. Washed is in the past. Loves us continually. Washed us once, one time. All right. If you're following along on this handout, now we got the Holy Trinity here in the greeting. From him who is, actually is the name of God. Greetings from the being. Greetings from I am, he who is. Notice his name spans time. I am. As the Lord said to the Pharisees, he said, Prin Abraham genestai ego eimi. That is, before Abraham was, I am. And greetings from the Holy Spirit. Now, this note from my Bible knowledge commentary. The seven spirits probably refers to the Holy Spirit. See Isaiah 11. Though it's a very unusual way to refer to the third person of the Trinity. Now, I think Isaiah 11:1 is going to shed some light on this. Let me read it. And again, as I read this, remember, the book of Revelation is where all the junctions, like a train, all come together. It's in 66 different cars, 66 different directions. They all come together in the book of Revelation. Now, the seven spirits. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Now, Jesse is David's father. It's a prophecy that from David's family line is going to come the Messiah. So, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. That's seven right there. I love that. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Boy, we've got that inside of us. The built-in safety device to fear God. You see, Isaiah is fully understood when this train car arrives here at the last stop. This is where you understand Daniel. This is where you understand, well, Daniel as well. But this is where you understand Isaiah here at the end. Everything comes together in the book of Revelation. And lastly, a greeting from the Son of God, verse 5. It says, greetings from Jesus Christ, who is... You know, actually, these first three chapters is an excellent place to build your doctrine. My warning doesn't kick in until chapter 4 when you get to apocalyptic visions. But here we got great doctrine here in these three chapters. Who is Jesus? Let's read more about him. Greetings from Jesus Christ, who is, number one, he's the faithful witness. He's the faithful witness. Number two, he's the firstborn from among the dead. Number three, he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. So the first thing he said is he's a faithful witness. Witness to what? Number one, he's the witness to the existence of heaven. John 14, 2. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." So the Lord Jesus raises his right hand, puts his left hand on the word of God, and declares to you that you can have eternal life and spend eternity in heaven and see the face of God. And finally, understand all this, if you do what he says. He's bearing witness to this. He said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish." He's bearing witness to this. Trust Jesus. He's telling you, heaven is real. You can gain entry and have a part of it by calling on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent. Remember, back in the Old Testament, these people were dying here, left and right. This plague was striking them down for disobedience. Moses put a bronze serpent on a pole, and it said everyone who looked at it was healed. Jesus said the same thing. As Moses lifted up that pole, even so I'm going to be lifted up, that whoever believes in me may have eternal life. So he's a witness to heaven. Number two, he's a witness to the existence of hell. Mark 9:42. He says, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched." And he says it again, "where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Now, Jesus is not telling you to cut off your hand, literally, but he's telling you to get rid of those things that deliberately cause you to sin. Because if it's serious enough, or ends up being serious enough, a person could, according to him, find themselves in hell, where he says the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Greek word asbestos. Like what my friends used to warn me back in the day. They said, "Esposito, you're going to need an asbestos suit where you're going." So the Lord Jesus is bearing witness to the certainty of heaven, to the reality of hell. Regardless of what the Pope tells you, hell is real. And number three, the witness of the very heart of God. He bears witness that God loves you. And he says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." This is in red letters in your Bible. "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever..." You don't have to burn a calorie. "Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life."
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.